This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 p.m. And we're taking you through some of, I guess, our favorite stories from the day, some big headlines. The first one, of course, is from a panel on child marriage, Happily Never After. This was a forum, and essentially they said that legislation on raising the mandatory age for education is a necessary step in actually stopping child marriage.
So currently, only the 6 years of primary education is compulsory. The argument here, then, is that it should be made mandatory until the Sijil Pelajaran Malaysia, the SPM level. Social activist Syed Azmi Alhabshi, who runs a transit home for young girls, said that many undereducated girls viewed marriage through rose-tinted glasses since they didn't have any other choices to break free from the trap of poverty.
Yeah, so he went on to say that the real way to stop child marriage was for the children themselves to make an informed decision by saying that they did not want to get married because they had other options. Here he is from the forum.
A lot of people were thinking that it would be safe for girls, for children to be in school, but if that is not in place, then that's not possible. We have all scientific data. We have all reason that children should not be married. But then, the next question is, when you go on the ground, when you were in Taisala, Gomusangka, Tumpaka, and everybody is okay with it, and the next question is, okay, Sai, if I follow you and I say, no, don't get married now, where do I go? What do I do? What can I do? Who can I ask for help? One of the main three reasons of child marriage is poverty, options and choices as well, and also the opportunity to actually get education. So basically, I'm against banning of child marriage as it is right now. This is the thing. When people say ban child marriage, I actually wanted to know which one. Is it the below 12? Is it the high school sweethearts? Is it the high school sweethearts with somebody 40 years old, 50 years old? Which one? Because different age groups have different ways to address it. To say no, what's going to happen? What is going to happen when you say to a child, no, you cannot? When I say a child is below 18, So if you talk to teenagers, they'll run away. They get married. Please understand that the only way to stop child marriage is by the children themselves. That's what I believe in. Children say that, I don't want to get married. But before that, you have to actually open up the opportunity for children to actually know where can they go, what can they do, where can they get their highest potential. And we, as adults, and as concerned citizens, should actually have the space, should actually change our way of conversation, should not just use law as a mechanism. I think law is important, I agree, but we can have all that and people will still break the law. And it's sadder if they break the law and still they become quiet about it because abuse would happen. And I don't want that.
So that was activist Syed Azmi, and the audio was from Star TV. Meanwhile, child rights lawyer Sri Vidya Ganapathy said that banning child marriage or capping the minimum marriage age at 18 would mean that we'd end up criminalising teenagers who married to break free from that poverty trap, particularly in rural areas, and that it was also crucial to ensure all children get equal access to education and sexual reproductive health education, as many child marriages happened due to unwanted pregnancies.
Right, and of course, over the weekend as well, on Saturday, we held our very own Health and Living Junior 2018 event. And over there, Deputy Women, Family and Community Development Minister Hannah Yeo was there. She was along with the Health Minister, Zulkifli Ahmad. Hannah said that compulsory education is something the ministry is looking at as one measure to curb child marriages. Here is some of the audio from that session with her.
Compulsory education is also another thing, big one that we have to fight if you want to battle child marriage. Compulsory education in Malaysia is from 6 years old, preschool, 1 year, standard one to standard six. 12 years old after UPSR is no longer compulsory. Now, if your education is not compulsory, then you cannot tell girls stay in school because there's no mechanism to hold them and force them to be in school. If you have compulsory education up to 17, then you can say, okay, with us pushing it up to 18 now, you will be able to keep these girls in school. So we have to work on compulsory education also. Okay. So these are all the things that our ministry...
That was Deputy Women, Family and Community Development Minister Hannah Yeo at BFM's Health and Living Junior 2018. She also said that the ministry is planning to focus on sex education and education for parents. And I think overall, this is... It's good news all around. It's good to hear that activists are saying one thing and that the government is agreeing and planning
on the
to,
same page.
Exactly. Not just on the same page, but actually planning implementation. I mean, it's one thing to say, yeah, good idea. And it's another thing to say, good idea, we're looking into it and it's going to actually be a part of your lives.
So, you know, one of the biggest issues, Lynn, I suppose, with the beast that is our government is that a lot of ministries don't necessarily talk to one another. And an initiative like this actually requires multiple ministries working together. It needs the health ministry working with the education ministry, most likely even with the Ministry of Communication and Multimedia to get the word out, right? And so you need three ministries. I don't know how they're going to do that. All working together to try and implement this initiative so that this communication gets to the right people, to parents, to students, and to kids in general.
I mean, even removing the child marriage issue, which is a huge thing, but even removing that, having more education for our children is just, it's a good thing all around. For me anyway, there's nothing to contest about it.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. Let's take a look at our next story. Well, this one, for those hoping that James Bond is ever going to be anything but a dude... So James Bond's getting old, very old. It's been more than half a century since he first graced the silver screen in Dr. No. And the last few years have seen more and more speculation about the possibility of 007 maybe being played by someone other than a white dude.
So you may have seen this in the news because the idea of a black Bond with Idris Elba being the front runner has been pushed for quite some time. He has said pretty firmly that he's not going to. And there's also been talk about ditching the concept of a male Bond altogether.
Right, so don't get your hopes too high if you wanted to see a woman as Bond. Barbara Broccoli, who's been the executive producer on the franchise for decades, told The Guardian, and I quote, "Bond is male, he's a male character, he was written as a male, and I think he'll probably stay as a male."
So that's pretty definitive.
Pretty much.
The desire for a more diverse Bond reflects broader changes happening across the film industry and other franchises, such as Doctor Who, are rebooting with female leads to add some freshness and modernity to a long-running series. But Broccoli believes that turning existing male characters into women isn't the best solution, instead arguing that more effort should go towards creating new female characters.
Yeah, her take echoes a point made earlier this year by Rachel Weisz, who is, of course, married to Daniel Craig. There shouldn't be a female Bond, Weisz said, because women deserve their own stories. Having said that, Broccoli doesn't rule out that a woman could have more influence in shaping the Bond series, saying that there's still a possibility of having a female screenwriter or director for the upcoming movies.
So the possibility of a Jane Bond, so to speak, was mooted to the cast during the press junket of the last Bond film, and Daniel Craig was very much open to it.
Could you possibly imagine a female playing James Bond?
Sure, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's the great thing about movies, isn't it? It's down to one's imagination, and I think that that's completely possible.
That's why he's my favourite Bond.
Yeah. Christoph Waltz, the latest Bond villain, however, was not really into the idea.
No, I can't. I can see a movie with a female agent.
Right.
But why would it have to be James Bond? What's wrong with having a James Bond male? Why all of a sudden, you know, I know that discussion, you know,
yes.
And it's political correctness gone bonkers. I totally agree with the fact that you should have more interesting roles for women. It just needs to make sense. Why would you cast Dave Bautista as Catwoman?
Oh, okay.
So, I don't think there should be a female James Bond. Doctor Who's a very different concept, right? Because he can regenerate, or she can regenerate. So you can actually be, he can be an alien.
Can be anything.
Can be anything. Yeah. And I would like someone to create a new character, because I think we've kind of strayed so far away from the books. Like, James Bond's not a nice person. He's not a nice character, even in the books. He's a misogynistic animal. But but really, right? I mean, he's broken and yes. And that, like, when we see someone like Daniel Craig or Roger Moore play it, it actually sanitizes the character a lot to make him more likable.
Interesting that you went with Daniel Craig there. I mean, this isn't the movie show, but I don't know that Daniel Craig is the person you'd want to bring up as an actor who has sanitized Bond. I think Pierce Brosnan did.
Yes. But he's still likable.
Yeah.
And when you read the books, you're like, I don't like this guy.
No, that's true. I do think there is something to be said about why can't there be better female characters? You know, why does it have to be James Bond? But on the flip side of that, there is something to be said about having an iconic character owned by a woman.
Yes.
And there is power in that. I mean, when people saw Wonder Woman on screen, who is admittedly a female character written to be a woman, there is some power to seeing an iconic character come to life played by a strong woman. So there's some appeal there.
So I think those characters do exist in literature. Mm-hmm. And I think Hollywood or whoever's making movies needs to go and tap into those previously untapped stories, right? Which I think will be quite cool to actually see, like what they did with Wonder Woman. It took them so long to bring her back to the screen. And then when they did, she made like over $1 billion at the box office. So it works.
Let us know what you think. I mean, would you like to see a female Bond? Would you be open to that? Or do you think you'd rather just have more interesting female characters written for that? That number to call, 7733 2900. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
You know what I do want to see though? I want to see like a kick-ass Bond villain that is a woman taking him on.
I'd like to see that with her not being attracted to him. That would be fun.
Yes, that would be very, very cool. We've got some music coming your way. You Know I Know, John Lee Hooker on BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. This is the evening edition. Lynn and Uma with you. We were talking earlier about James Bond. Barbara Broccoli, who's been the producer on the Bond series of films, has said that, you know, it's unlikely that there's going to be a female Bond. We've had a bunch of messages about that.
Belinda says, create Jane Bond 008.
I think so. Like, you need a spin-off.
You think?
No. If you wanted to create a female super agent, either you go back to, say, Modesty Blaze and you start adapting that into a film, or you try and create like a James Bond spin-off show, like, you know, like Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice.
So interesting that you bring up Modesty Blaze. Magat says, if you need a super female spy, Modesty Blaze is still untapped. Just don't touch Bond. He is the last bastion of real men being men and not being politically correct, i.e. neutered. Neutered is a strong word, Magat.
It is a very strong word.
I think all we're asking for is that he doesn't, you know, kind of treat women like disposable toys.
Yeah. However, you read the Modesty Blaze novels, they're really cool. Both the novels and the graphic novels that they have. Modesty Blaze is a fun character that I would like to see adapted either to like a series or even a film.
Agreed. Az says, can't picture a female James Bond. It just doesn't jive. It's better to create a fresh new female spy character or maybe link it to the James Bond brand in a kind of a recruitment situation. I agree. I don't think there's anything wrong with James Bond remaining Bond. I mean, I think the franchise as a whole has been trying to push him into, I wouldn't say neutered, but
a new direction.
A new direction, perhaps a little closer to what we understand of how real men behave today, I guess. Just an update.
But unless you want Bond to remain that way, because you know what I mean? Like he is, but acknowledge the fact that he's a misogynist.
Yes. Fauzi says, woman James Bond, what is this? Gender equality? Why not transgender Bond?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that would be fine, basically. I think there is something to be had for like Bond remaining the icon that he is. But updating him in other ways, or maybe just having a new character, there's nothing wrong with that.
I also think sometimes we get caught up in this conversation and we actually play into this marketing, right? Why would you reboot James Bond as a woman? Because you want to tap into the marketing machine that James Bond has already had for the last 5 decades and make more money off of it. Because Hollywood is too scared to introduce a new character and go there because they're not sure if it's going to make any money.
I do think there is something to be said for a fresh spy character who is Bond's equal. And
Correct.
Then we can keep James Bond.
Yeah.
He's got one of the best lines in cinema.
Exactly.
If you would like to weigh in, what do you think of a woman James Bond? Would you be open to it? That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
All right, so let's move on to our next story for the day. At the Kuala Lumpur Festival over the weekend, Malaysian content creators said that there has been a shift in public attitude towards Dato' Sri Najib Razak and his wife Datin Sri Rosmah Mansor, especially after the 14th general election.
Bila turun, kenapa tak puji kerajaan? Jangkung dulu naik, sekali dah turun. Jangkung dulu naik, sekali dah turun.
Right. Remember that?
Yeah, it's a classic. It's really an instant classic. So Lau Man Yi, the country manager behind humor website MGAG, said that people who used to delight at jokes about the former Prime Minister Rosma, as well as other BN politicians, appear to be more sympathetic towards them now. And she went on to say she'd received private messages asking for certain posts to be taken down since Najib and Rosma were already being charged in court. And she did add that these were the same people who had been poking fun and bashing people like the former Prime Minister and his wife prior to May 9th.
Yeah, so comic book writer Ernest Ng said he too had received flak for posting content involving former leaders his followers considered to be below the belt, right? In his defense, Ng explained that his content would merely poke fun at the supposed act committed by these public figures, avoiding and he tried to avoid it from becoming an outright personal attack.
So here's Man Yi talking about how they've had to move the posts in terms of who and what is joked about now.
Political jokes are kind of something that we have to avoid, because now the same people, like I mentioned earlier, are now supporting us. Oh, don't, they're humans too, they're feelings, you know, poor thing, she cannot wear makeup anymore. You know, it's sad, right? So what we do now is we make fun of the people who suddenly, right after the 9th of May, said, oh, I'm new Malaysia now. But they still act like how they acted all those years before. Like they talk about, oh, you know, things have changed, I'm going to be more of this, I'm going to clean up after myself. It's a very simple thing, right?
Right.
You eat, you clean up after yourself, that's it, you know? Oh, they can't do it, but they preach online about, oh, this is new Malaysia, I'm different, I'm changed, you know? No, you are the same you know, don't know how to use Signal. The stuff that we've been milking or flogging this dead horse already to its second death, right? People are still the same, and they still bravely, brazenly go online and say that I'm changed, but you're not. It starts. We always say, yes, the government, the changes are happening, you know? They are doing their thing. What about you? You don't sit there and wait, you know, passively. You must go there and be the change, right?
That was Lau Man Yi, country manager behind humor website MGAG, speaking at the Kuala Lumpur Festival over the weekend. Is it below the belt? So therein lies the question, right? Because, yes, we have new people to make fun of, right? Anwar Ibrahim and PD, plenty of fodder for comedy, right?
Yes.
Muzli Malik, plenty of fodder for comedy. But at the same time, the scale of the things that we have to make fun of from our previous BN politicians and the comments that they still keep making.
But I think there's something to be said about how the mighty have fallen. And then there's a moment of where people like poking fun. The moment the mighty fall, that's a funny moment. But after that, it just starts to become part of the mundane. And I think it's not so much about, it's maybe not even so much about that shift of power. It's just that now it's become part of our mundane everyday existence. And so perhaps it's less funny in that sense.
I suppose. But, you know, what the both of them were saying about individuals actually saying that, you know, we're bashing them when they're down and out. I mean, for me, that doesn't apply because it feels like you're still punching up because these individuals are still rich and they still have a tremendous amount of power. They may be charged in court and standing trial at some point, but they have a lot of money and a lot of power. So humor still punching up.
We would love to hear from you. Are you tired of jokes about our former Prime Minister and his wife? Do you think that, you know, we've hit the point where we no longer need to talk about them? I don't know. That number to call, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
We've got the news coming your way and then markets and then name that tune. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.